It's hour two of the game. John Kurtz and Mitch Fortner here with you. Mitch Holthus is going to be on at 5:25. Get to the results of the poll question in this hour as well. That focuses on the heartbreaker last night in Lubbock. Felt a lot like a Tuesday ago in Lawrence, Kansas. Question, you can find it at the game KMAN or JL Kurtz on Twitter. What's most to blame for K-State's loss last night? Is it late game execution, officiating, or other? We're already up over 500 votes, man. Really getting this poll out there, and Twitter is making me happy for the moment. If you listened to the open of the show, you would know why that is. We're breaking down, guess how we assess the blame for what happened last night, or really what should happen at this point in time. How you handle it is really what I'm more concerned with, and I think you have to look inward after a game like that and after everything that happened and start to figure out how you are going to start putting W's up on the board in these close game situations and, for that matter, conference road game situations, because that has been a big problem as well. I'm going to get into that more in just a moment here. If you want to communicate with us on the show, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. If you've got some steam to blow off after that one last night, let us hear it. You can also tweet us at the game KMAN, as I mentioned. So we've heard a little bit from Bruce Weber, and if you missed it, I'll play it again here, what he had to say after the game. Just seemed to be kind of at a loss, and I can understand after having your heart just ripped out again on the road, much like the Kansas game. Bruce Weber was having trouble coming up with a whole lot at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say, Wyatt. I'm just sad for our kids, and you got to go on the road and fight and grind. We knew they were good. I mean, they're close to being the top 25 team.
Weber also did admit that there were a lot of things that went wrong at the end of the game. It was not just some of the questionable officiating, which obviously is a big topic of discussion.
Obviously, there's some questionable calls, but I should have called timeout. Wes was stuck. I should have just called timeout. We had plenty of time, and that's my fault. You hope he has a little more poise if he doesn't have anything to maybe see he doesn't have something to call timeout, because there was 10-11 seconds on the shot clock.
Referencing, of course, Wesley Owundu's turnover late in that game, which was one of a number of plays that were in K-State's control that they did not execute, and therefore you blow a four-point lead with 2 minutes left to go in the game. Perry Brown centered around a lot of that. He had not only the phantom foul with a couple minutes left to go in the game that gave two free throws and 2 points to Texas Tech, but he also had the layup that caused most of the controversy at the end of the game. It appeared that he got hit in the head on his way to the basket, left the layup short. Bruce Weber then gets a technical foul for stepping out on the floor to basically argue the call at the end there. This audio is courtesy of the Kansas City Star, but here's Barry Brown after the game. I love his attitude, even though he does admit that he felt like there was contact on that last layup.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was some contact, but I mean, it was just a no call. I got to make that layup at the end of the game. I mean, we're at Texas Tech, so I got to expect stuff like that. I just got to tough it out and make that layup.
How tough is this one? I mean, you guys seem to have it in hand with a 7-point lead there late. We were still making some plays.
It just sucks to blow the lead, man. We just entered the top 25, and just to come out like this and just not get this road win, especially being up, like you said, 7 points at one point late in the game. And even being up probably, I think, 4 points with like two minutes left. I mean, it just hurts our heart, man, just because I know how hard we work, and I mean, everybody's – it's just not good.
Yeah, the contact, I guess, on replay, it looked like he got you on the forehead. Is that where you felt it?
Yeah, that's where I felt it at.
Did that disrupt your shot
quite
a bit?
I got my head kind of pushed back, so I mean, but like I said, I just got to keep fighting through it. I mean, it was a no call, so I got to make that layup.
Much like the way Bruce Weber addressed things after the Kansas game and the speed travel, I thought Barry Brown was in the same vein with how he just handled that. Admits that, yes, there was some contact there, but doesn't go as far to blame any of the officiating, and immediately brings it back internally, says, hey, I've got to finish the layup. We got to make enough plays to win that game. I appreciated how Barry Brown handled that there at the end. I mean, you look at what happened here in the second half. K-State's up by 7 at the 10-minute mark, immediately an 8-0 run ripped off by Texas Tech. Then they're up by 4 with 2 minutes and change left to go and have the basketball. And you have Kamau Stokes get fouled. He misses the front end of a 1-1. Then on the other end, Xavier Sneed fouls. You give up 2 points. Kamau Stokes comes back down, misses a floater. Then you go back down the other way. That's when Barry Brown gets his foul, and Texas Tech actually missed three straight free throws after that. But then you have Wesley Owundu's turnover, which leads to a runout. Then Barry Brown misses that layup with the questionable foul call, and the technical is called. But that's a lot that had to go wrong down the stretch for you to not come up with that game. And it is just a concerning trend to me in close games and in Big 12 road games, because we can sit here and break down what's happened in every single one of these situations. There were all the overtime losses last year. You were certainly outmanned, outgunned, you felt like, in most of those games. But you lose three overtime games, another two by 5 points or less. This year, you've lost two games by 1 point with Maryland and now Texas Tech. And you could throw the Kansas game in there as well. I'm going to, for the sake of this discussion, omit it for the most part, because I feel like K-State played really, really well there, and it wasn't so much a matter of having late-game execution be the issue at the end. But there's no doubt that there's a trend right now in closing out games late. This team is having a problem doing that. Just almost identical scenarios between the Maryland game and the Texas Tech game. You lead Maryland by three with 44 seconds left and have the basketball and lose that game. You led Texas Tech by four with 2 minutes left with the basketball and lose that game. You had missed free throws be a factor in both. Kamau Stokes missed the free throw last night. Wesley Owundu missed the front end of a 1-1 against Maryland down the stretch as well. And you have two really bad turnovers. Wesley Owundu throwing the ball away, which, by the way, also pretty bad spacing by everybody out there on the floor. Cole Manbeck pointed that out to me, went back and watched it. Just a lot of standing around, two guys in one spot. There wasn't much of a place for West to go with the ball. It all amounts to a bad turnover, which was very similar to the Kamau Stokes awkward inbounds turnover that happened when you had the ball up three with 44 seconds left against Maryland. So scary, a lot of the situational similarities there in the two games and how K-State in both spots was not able to come through and get the win. I think you can assess the blame for that a lot of different ways. Certainly a lot of it is on the players. I think you can just put some of it back on the coaches as well, just in the sense that everything is going to come back on them at some point. No matter whose fault it is that the execution is not working down the stretch, if it doesn't get fixed and you don't find a way to break through at one point or another, eventually, whether it's this year, next year, at some point, that's going to come back on those at the top, and that's just how it works. So that's part of why I think everybody involved would have to see what happened there, forget about the officiating, forget about what happened with the guys in the zebra stripes in that game, and look and say, what can we do to figure this out? Because it's just, it's too similar, and there's too much of this happening right now. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Let's welcome in Charles from Wamego. It's been a while. What's up, Charles?
Hey, John. Well, I ended up calling twice, and you were out, and Tyler was in.
Oh, okay.
Called before the, well, after the K-State bowl game before Oklahoma State the next night, and then I called last week, I guess it was, on Friday before the Oklahoma game. You know, the thing with Weber and late-game execution, that's been a problem ever since he's been here. I mean, let's be blunt about it. His first year here, he tried to micromanage everything down the stretch of games. And then in the biggest game of the year, first-round tournament game against LaSalle, we have a timeout left with 10 seconds or 8 seconds, whatever it was, to go. He doesn't call it. And yet he, every time previously that year, when he had timeouts in a close game down the stretch, he'd call them. And for whatever reason, he didn't that game. And, you know, I've been surprised at some of the vitriol that we've heard from some of the K-State fans today.
Vitriol towards?
Well, towards the officiating.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but if you think that was a foul on the last play with Barry Brown, what about the putback where Texas Tech went ahead by one?
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
Hammered him on left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they weren't going to call that, they're not going to call the one with Barry Brown. You know, the positive thing is, my opinion, I think Tech's the fourth most talented team in this conference. And if we can play this well on the road against KU and Tech, we can win. We definitely should win at OU, we definitely should win at Texas, and we definitely should win at TCU and have chances against Iowa State, and I forget who the other team would be. So if we play as well as we've played in Lawrence and Lubbock, we could go 5-4 on the road. And then you turn it around, you know, I mean, if you're playing that well on the road, well, they can win 5-6 games. Let's say they win 6 games at home. That'd be winning 11 conference games. And, yeah, you know, they had two of their easier home games to start with. But at least they won them. At least it didn't come down to last second shot. And, you know, if they can transfer some of this energy from these first two road games into their other games, I think they're going to be in good shape. I guess the one concern is, with playing so few guys so many minutes, you hope they don't wear down.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get the win, but these first two road games, I mean, compared to what they've done in previous years, last night's game, you know, we'd have lost by a point down at Texas in previous years. You know, this year it looks like so far Texas the fourth best team. And, you know, KU's in competition for the conference title. And, you know, they continue that trend. We're going to win road games this year. And these games against Texas and OU and TCU, they won't be close at the end if we play like this down in those places. And that's all I got to say, John.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Charles. I appreciate the positivity there. And I think that reflects back to some of what I was trying to say in the open. You're going to have so many more opportunities here the rest of the year. And teams have been losing on the road in close games in the Big 12 so far. Literally everybody that's been involved in a game that close on the road in the Big 12 so far, all seven times they've lost. So you are in no way, you know, unique with what happened last night. You're going to take some of those throughout the course of the year. I'm going to use my old popular phrase here that Tyler always makes fun of me for. In a vacuum, this one-point loss to Texas Tech, who, as Charles said, might be the fourth-best team in the league on the road, that's not the worst thing in the world. You can live with that. But it is the trend that we've seen this year. And going back to last year, you worry about, at least I do, what the culture is with these guys, I guess, just in between the years. You know, culture is probably not the right word. What their mindset is in between the years when they're in these situations in games. Because right now it seems like, sports cliche here, they just haven't learned how to win yet in these types of games. And that's something that I think you worry about whether or not it's going to come. And hey, to Charles' point too about some of the coaching in late game scenarios here, there have been bright spots too. You can say what you want about Bruce Weber micromanaging some things down the stretch, but I thought he's had actually some nice moments in both of the two games the last 2 weeks. I mean, the Kansas game, I really liked what they did to get Dean Wade that shot. You got it in the hands of Wesley Wundu, who was playing really well down the stretch, and Kansas has a guy take the screen the wrong way. All of a sudden, Dean Wade's wide open. Very good shooter, straight on. Got him a totally open look. I thought that was a really nice job. Nice piece of coaching. Then at the same time, getting Barry Brown's layup, I really liked the move by Bruce Weber not to call timeout. It was sort of a frenetic situation there, and they just let Brown create. And to get that close to the cup with a layup, foul or not, you're going to take that really every time. You're not going to get much better of a look than that, even if you go take a timeout and try and draw up a play. So there have been some things there that I think are bright spots with the way it has been handled. What's not happening is making enough plays to not let it get to that point and then have to leave it up in the hands of the officials. And a lot of that falls on the players. But eventually, as I said, whether it's all the players' execution or not, at a certain point, if it keeps happening, it's going to come back on those at the top. And it's going to be pretty moot how much we sit here and argue if it's totally the players' fault, how much is on the coaches, yada, yada, yada. You can address what you think on the poll question up now at JL Kurtz and the Game KMAN on Twitter. What's most to blame for K-State's loss last night? Late game execution, officiating, or other. We'll get to the results of that later on here in the first hour of the show. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. It has been a while since we have talked to him. I'm sure he's jacked up with the Steelers and Chiefs. Coming up, how much stock can you put in the fact that the Steelers just totally worked the Chiefs back in week 4? I'll ask Mitch next.